Yes, good morning to you all. This is Daniel King with Daily Inspiration. Just want to bless you and pray that God would meet with you today in whatever you're doing and whatever you have before you. I know that the Lord does lead us into sometimes unique situations. So I just pray that God will be your guide today. And I'm reading here out of Habakkuk chapter 2. It's been some things that are written here that have spoke to me throughout the day yesterday, and I thought I would like to talk about them. And it occurred to me, this thought, that most of the Ten Commandments, if not all, I'm not sure if I thought through it totally, but most of them at least are based on selfishness. And I do think that if we can overcome this desire to lift up self or protect self, or to have self on the forefront, I do believe that if we can overcome that and nail that at its roots, so to speak, I do believe that our journey through this life, our relationship with the Lord, will be much more full and rich, and we will experience a closeness with the Father. Here's something I would like to share. It says, what Habakkuk 2 verse 18, what profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should entrust in it to make mute idols or idols who can't speak. Woe to him who says to wood, awake. To silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple, therefore let all the earth keep silence before him. And I think most of us would agree that just the foolishness, if you will, of a man making an idol out of wood or stone or whatever. It doesn't really matter how much time he spends on it. If he makes it extremely intricate and fancy, if he uses, you know, a very special kind of wood and spends just a lot of time adding details, it really doesn't matter. It is just foolishness to think that something that we created with our own hands could then turn around and be our guide. That is just not logical thinking, and I think it's why when education comes, outward idolatry goes down. You know, you see it around the world that the more people are educated, the more the outward idolatry goes away. It's simply because it's so it just doesn't make any sense. But I had to think, what is the root of that? Why do people do that? And I think it's because people want to custom make their own God, which would then put themselves in control. And it's a selfish thing that causes us to want to be in control. It's a selfish thing that wants us to choose our own morals and our own standards and our own decisions and our own life, basically. But if we can create our own God, then we can also manipulate the God that we have created, and he becomes the servant and we become the master. And so I think that's why people do that around the world, is because there is this sense of knowing that we need a God, or there's this sense of knowing that we are incomplete in and of ourselves, and so we go the wrong way. We put ourselves on top, and we create a God that is under us. And I couldn't help but think of how many people create a God, the God of heaven, in their minds, and tweak him, and shift this and shift that until they came up with a doctrine, so to speak, or a Christianity where God becomes their servant, the God of heaven becomes their servant. And basically what I'm trying to say is that they believe, or it's a false belief, but they would believe that God has created man so that God can serve man, and man can be the one who's being served instead of man serving God. And I think that's really a kind of the root of idolatry, is that man wants to be served. Man wants to do his own thing, but he wants God to be pleased with him. And so if you think about it, and so those are just some of the things that I had thought of in light of, in today's age, I do believe that the things that, like idolatry and a lot of the other things, murder and all those things are we would probably say they're pretty far from us. But I think it's a good exercise, or a good practice, if you will, if we understand what the root is of some of these sins. And so that was one of the things that was on my mind here. The other thing is, further back here in this same chapter, it talks about woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not the Lord of hosts, that the peoples labor to feed the fire? The nations weary themselves in vain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And I'm not sure this chapter here in Habakkuk chapter 2 is just full, basically full, of the end result of selfishness. And basically here again, what people will do is they will, it says that he will set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. People will try to make their life safe. They will try to figure out all of the things that cause a man to, all the things that would destroy a man's life, and then they try to overcome that by by playing it safe. And I think that comes so natural for us. But I couldn't help but wonder about all the lost energies and all the time and money it takes to accomplish this, to set up all those safeguards in our lives. And I couldn't help but think of the example of Jesus, back to that perfect example of Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God, and yet in his way, while he was on the earth, he humbled himself. And he did not pursue his own thing. You know, back to my first illustration of idolatry, he simply pursued the will of his Father. All day long, he just pursued the will of his Father, and his Father took care of him. His Father spoke favorably of him. His Father gave him affirmation. His Father claimed him as his son, and he knew it. He knew who his Father was, and he knew he was accepted by his Father. There wasn't all this insecurity in his life. And you know, in the same way, he did not protect himself. He used all of his energy and resources to serve his Father's kingdom and to serve in his Father's will. He didn't spend long hours trying to earn money and resources to then turn around and build safeguards and, you know, build his own kingdom here on the earth and to build himself structures, if you will, that will keep him from natural disasters. He pretty much kept his resources low, and he lived simply, and he trusted his Father. And yes, disasters came, but in that, even in the disasters, even in the storms, he found refuge in his Father. And in the very end, the worst of the disaster, of course, came when at the end of his life, but even through that, it was his deliverance from this earth. It was his exaltation. So at the end of the day, Jesus experienced through all, Jesus, number one, did not create his own God. He sought to serve the God of the universe. And number two, he did not build safeguards for himself. And in the end, he was exalted, and he now sits at the right hand of his Father. And in the same way, Jesus invites us to walk that same pathway. And in due time, when difficulty comes, somehow through that, it will be, God will come through. Somehow, if a person walks with that kind of trust, somehow through the difficulty, it may not be right away, but somehow through the difficulty, God will come through, and we will understand the power of God in our lives. So may the Lord bless you and keep you today.